I'm here to introduce Carl Rosen, who's going to do the welcome to Chicago for folks. And many of the people in this room, I think, already know Carl. He works with the United Electrical Workers Union and has been for some time, but he's a guy that I run into regularly, you know, not because we plan to meet regularly, but because he's at every event that I go to. Every time I make some time for myself to do something for justice, Carl's there and his union's there. Many of you who may not know him know certainly of his union, the United Electrical Workers. Their most famous recent thing was the Republic Windows and Doors, was the first union to, yeah, you can clap for that. Where the workers took over a plant and demanded justice when a boss was trying to sneak out of town. And it's not an accident that UE was the union that that represented the workers there. There's only a small number of unions in this country that have the courage that the United Electrical Workers have. They've been involved, and Carl's been involved, in immigrant rights, housing equality, living wage. Started to write a list. It's just virtually every issue of justice they've been involved in. And their history is also one of being of fighting against repression. They've been the victim of FBI repression. It's what we've come to talk about here today. And there's now that they're supporting the people that have been victimized. They're the first international union to pass a resolution to support those who have been targeted by FBI repression, and to support and to fight against this kind of repression and make it go away. So please give a warm welcome to Carl Rosen, the Western Region President of the United Electrical, Radio, and Machine Workers Union.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for those kind comments that, you know, reflect the good work of many, many people, rank and file members, staff, and officers of UE. I'm here to welcome you, so I say first, welcome. Very seriously, I want to thank all of you for doing this really important work. We're entering into a period in American history where there are going to be great fights to engage on behalf of the working class and on behalf of peace and justice. The ability of the American people to stand up for what they believe in and to organize on behalf of that is going to be shaped in no small part by the outcome of this fight around these people, around these tactics by a repressive agency. And so what you're doing here will help shape, and what is going to be done at the other conferences across the country will help shape what kind of fight back, under what kind of circumstances we'll be doing it across this country. So this is very important work. I am happy that UE was the first national union. Once in a while, it'd be nice not to be the first national union with the progressive statement out on something. But I am happy, since I am from UE, to be able to say that we are the first national union that had a statement directly addressing the raids and the grand jury subpoenas and the investigation in general against people who were mainly organizing around political ideas and trying to express themselves. We are hopeful that additional national unions will follow. I think the work of this conference and the others across this country will probably contribute to additional national unions being brought on board. But you know, part of the reason this happened with UE is our own direct experience, as Rich said. There were 11 unions that faced 11 national unions that faced the full fury of the McCarthy period, with every single element of corporate and government power being used to dismember those unions for standing up for what they believed in, for standing up for the working class, both in terms of domestic and international politics. And nine of those were destroyed, and only two UE and the West Coast Longshore Union survived. And it's because of that history that I think we have this very special understanding of the importance of civil liberties. And we have had at every resolution, at every convention, a very strong resolution on civil liberties. And knowing that the infringement on anyone's civil liberties ends up being an infringement on everyone's civil liberties. And knowing that in the end, workers and their organizations will be the ultimate targets of that. Our statement that we issued from our National General Executive Board a couple weeks ago is simply an extension of the resolution that we have had there for many years. And any of you who would like to see it, please go to the UE website and look under UE policy, and you'll see the statement that was passed at our last convention. It covers a whole range of civil liberties issues, including directly talking about improper use of grand juries and, you know, this kind of FBI misbehavior, et cetera, but also touching on a host of other things, whether it be the death penalty or many, many other issues that have been used in very repressive ways in this country. But our response, even though that's why we generally felt a need to respond, our response was also shaped by the concrete experience of UE to this case itself. It turns out that this FBI investigation directly hampered the ability of UE members to get justice in a fight they were having with a company and a bank. It's the story of Quad City Die Casting, a small factory on the banks of the Mississippi River in western Illinois. Wells Fargo Bank, near the beginning of the recession, when banks were cutting back lines of credit to manufacturing companies all over the place, they cut off the line of credit. Our members said, we're not going to accept that. We're going to stand up and fight. It was a good business. They went to the bank, said, we want your cooperation saving this place. If not with the current ownership, then with the new ownership. We found some investors possibly willing to take it over. The bank refused to cooperate, didn't want to talk to anyone, wanted it shut down. So the fight also centered on trying to make sure that if it did shut down, the workers got a decent severance package out of it. The bank not only refused to cooperate, they stood in the way, saying they're taking all of their money out of the business first, and if there's nothing left over for the workers, who cares? So our fight was clear that we were with the bank, having a fight with the bank. The workers put up a great fight. Small town, not hard to get a lot of national press off of that, but they were starting to get some national press. But they knew they needed to ratchet up the pressure a little bit more to get more coverage, put more pressure on the bank. And so a group of the workers decided that they would do some civil disobedience, that they were going to sit down in the street in front of a main branch in downtown Rock Island, Illinois, and demonstrate in a very clear way how the bank was being a roadblock to recovery, and do that by blocking a road. So they were going to do this, but in a situation like that, you don't want to be alone. They put out the call for solidarity. And they were answered by many friends of UE, some of whom had been inspired by and given direct support to the worker occupation of Republic Windows and Doors here in Chicago, which had taken place just a few months earlier. And it included Stephanie Weiner and Joe Eisenbaker. Give them a hand. Stalwart labor activists themselves, they'd both played a leading role in supporting and mobilizing labor and community support at Republic. And so they heard about this. They said they'd come on out. They'd bring some people with them. Stephanie said, hey, if you need some community supporters to also sit down in the street with the workers so they don't feel so alone, I'll do that. I'm willing to get arrested for that. They said, would you like us to come? And we said, great, please come on down. And they brought a carload of folks out, maybe more than a carload, I don't remember for sure. And that was greatly appreciated. What we didn't know then was, nor did they, of course, was that this misplaced anti-democracy investigation by the FBI was already underway. And that the FBI was apparently monitoring Stephanie and Joe's activities. And now they would take it a step further and actually disrupt an event that they were planning to attend. Shades of COINTELPRO. Whether it was fully intentional or not, it doesn't really matter. It had the intent. It had the effect. Because when the day of the demonstration arrived, UE staff had worked through the details of the civil disobedience with the local police in advance, and that's frequently done in demonstrations like this for a variety of reasons. For us, to minimize, you know, what kind of fines the workers are going to face, et cetera. They're already, you know, doing enough. And the police appreciate it, and that's why they're willing to go a little easier on folks, because then they know what to expect and they can keep their resources to a minimum. you know, we want to make sure, though, that the good visual is there for the TV cameras of showing people sitting in the street and then, you know, being marched off with their hands behind their backs or whatever, off to a waiting police vehicle. That's what you want. And then people say, hey, boy, this must be serious. So that was all worked out. And, you know, Rock Island is a pretty cash-strapped town. They didn't want to have any more cops there than they needed to. So they were willing to make that exchange with us. And it was all worked out. Well, just before the protest started, which we were starting to arrive there, the top police guy there, the top police officer, came running up to our lead staff person on it, screaming at her, really upset, saying, what the hell is going on here? We thought we had a deal here, and I just got a call from the FBI saying that there are dangerous people coming here to Rock Island, and now I had to mobilize the whole police force to come out here. And, you know, we told him, of course, that there weren't any dangerous people coming, and everything went off smoothly, just like we had said it would. But they had to have a whole bunch of extra police out there, which is very intimidating for the members. This call from the FBI to the police, that was a call that would not have been made if the FBI was not engaged in a witch hunt. It's a call that should not have been made under any circumstances. It was a lie, and it was an illegal attack on democratic rights. And this is a call that resulted in Rock Island spending extra money that it does not have to protect against a threat that did not exist. And it's a call that put UE members at risk, and a call that could have a very chilling effect on the willingness of workers to protest on their own behalf. Brothers and sisters, we cannot let this stand. And that's why the work that you are doing here is so important. I hope that this is a very productive conference today, and hope even more that the plans that come from this conference lead to very productive work moving ahead so that we can take this on and win back the rights that we are supposed to have in this country. Thank you very much. Have a great conference.